I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. If you're one of our East Coast listeners, you might be sitting at home by a warm fire while it snows outside. But not everyone has a home to shelter in. 3.5 million Americans experience homelessness in any given year, and more than a third are children. Journalist and activist Lisa Gray Garcia was once one of those kids. Also known as Tiny, Lisa has a new book chronicling her journey, Criminal of Poverty, Growing Up Homeless in America. She explains why homelessness is considered a crime.
It's illegal to sleep in your vehicle. People don't know that, but you actually get cited for sleeping in your vehicle, which is really interesting because if you have a really big like camper and you take a trip across the country, you're not cited for sleeping in your vehicle. But when you actually sleep in your vehicles, you have no home and you're in the wrong neighborhood and perhaps of the wrong color or have a what we call a driving while poor violation, DWP or DWB, you're going to be cited.
I want you to take me back to when you were literally tiny. When was the first time that you knew that you were in jeopardy as a little girl, in jeopardy of not having a place to live?
My mom, who is actually a mixed-race orphan from the streets of Philly and who worked her way up from nothing to try to get her MSW degree, got, you know, a job. So for 2 years, we had this, like, sort of little bit better than very low-income life. So at 11 years old, she got laid. I was 11. She got laid off from her job. And in the whole cliched notion of one paycheck away from homelessness was exactly our reality. Because she was an orphan, she was a torture victim as a child, suffering severe abuse. And when she was laid off, that was a blow to her psychologically that she really couldn't surmount. And she really became mentally disabled at that point. At 11 years old, it essentially became my job in a lot of ways to take care of her. And from that moment on, for like the next 10 years, we dealt with unending, intense poverty and homelessness in the U.S.
One of the things that strikes me about your book that is unexpected is that you could view this as an absolutely relentlessly depressing narrative, but you actually managed to find humor in some of the things that you did. Perhaps it's because your mother, although she was someone who had severe emotional problems, also saw the creativity and the vivid ways that you could use your imagination. Perhaps it's from your own imagination. How did you survive spiritually during that time that you and your mother were homeless?
Well, thank you for bringing up that about my mom, because the bottom line is, although my mom had an emotional and psychological disability, she was also an artist. She's also, as I say, for without whom there would be no me. And she did pass in March of 2006. So I'm still dealing with some of that emotion. But she was able to laugh at some of the most terrifying, tragic things, and I with her. And that, in and of itself, was one of our survival strategies. And so I'm glad it translated in the book. It is a pretty funny book. There is a lot of silliness.
Well, you know, at one point I remember reading in the book how you guys had created these fantastical sculptures in a place where you were living rent-free, but you were putting in a lot of sweat equity. And then a pipe burst, and all of your things are flooded with water. And then the woman who owned the place went back on her agreement that you could live there and called the police. And tell me about some of the worst moments that you experienced, times perhaps when you thought that you were safe and things were getting better, and then all of a sudden they just didn't.
We made art ourselves, and I actually started, me and my mom started a micro business. I started working on the street when I was 13. So in like many cases, one time I got sick and I couldn't sell on the street for a whole 2 weeks, and we were right back in the hole. Another time our broke down hoopty, our car, which we needed to survive and, you know, just to get our stuff around. All of these kind of really subtle things are the kinds of things that actually can ruin people who are holding on by a thread. And it's common, actually, in the U.S., because there's a lot of people who are trying, and working. But if they don't have that access, that backup, that credit, in our case, we didn't even have the family to go live with, that's where you're outside. That's how close you are.
Now you're leading a very different life. After the saga of dropping out of school in the sixth grade to help care for your mother, after living on the streets, you now help other people through the Poor News Network, which is a news network for people in poverty. What do you want to come out of this book?
I want people to understand that it's illegal to be homeless, illegal to be poor in the U.S. I want those laws to change. I want people to understand that people who should be heard and listened to around issues of poverty and racism are the people that experience themselves. And I want people to listen to that scholarship and look to different kinds of ways of solving homelessness and poverty. And that's what Poor Magazine is all about. And that's what I'm on this earth to do.
Well, Tiny, Lisa,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa Gray Garcia, also known as Tiny, is the author of Criminal of Poverty, Growing Up Homeless in America. She's also the founder of the Poor News Network. She joined me from KQED in San Francisco.